Hello, hello. We're sitting here in our brand new studio at WGN Radio. What a crazy experience. I know that my producer, Sam, is taking pictures, so you'll get to see this on Facebook and Instagram. You could follow us at Technori, follow us at Katoon on Instagram, obviously, and the same thing for Facebook. WGN, as you probably know, moved from Tribune Tower. I don't know if moved is the word. Kicked out? Pushed out? I don't know. They don't want to hear that. But they are no longer at their namesake. And I was pretty depressed about it, not going to lie. It's a really cool thing to be able to invite tech founders and CEOs to come talk to me in, you know, one of the oldest, most powerful media buildings in the history of the world. But that has shifted. We're now on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker. And I will tell you, I am delightfully surprised. It's gorgeous. We're literally looking at Navy Pier and Michigan, you know, everything. I can see the old Tribune Tower on one window, and I can see the Chicago River in the other, and I can see Lake Michigan in the other. It's gorgeous. You should start a company, get some traction, and then email Sam, and he'll get you on the show, and you can see the studio. It's really cool. But what it did do is sort of put a bump in my ass about the need for culture. I think while I loved WGN at Tribune, I did feel that it had like a little bit of a stodginess to it that made me feel sometimes like I was, you know, back in a different time, which I actually would prefer to live in the past. I think I would have been a much better person, like the 1930s or roaring 20s or something. I would have been better, but that's not a choice that's up to me. So I live here in 2018, and I guess I didn't realize it until today that there was a need for a refresh. I didn't realize that we could do better. I mean, I knew we could do better, but like I didn't realize we could do better. We could feel better. This room is so enlightened and makes me feel like I could tackle anything. And I honestly, God, believe you're going to get better interviews going forward because you got the chance to listen to people talking in a really cool, inspiring place. So that I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, I guess it's appropriate in that regard then that the person that I'm going to speak to is Tom Alexander, who many of you know. He used to be the COO for the last 4 years of 1871. Before that, he was the director of communications or deputy director of communications for the mayor, Rahm Emanuel. And now he's on to his own thing. He's also a Northwestern and Chicago grad, which is, you know, go Cats, and then there's the Maroons, but whatever. Tom has seen a lot. I mean, you can't not. There's been like 400 companies that go through 1871 and thousands of people. And Tom has been there for the bulk of the heavy hitting. And he saw a problem, and that was that inclusion and diversity was something that was a byline, but not something that was a focal point. It was something that we refer to in the interview as an outcome and not an input. He believes it's an input. So do I. I think that you make choices and you build your company the way you want it to be. And if you pay attention and deliberately make yourself inclusive and pay attention to what people want and what they want, not just at work, but out of their lives, that they will work better for you. They will be smarter. They will work harder. And ultimately, you'll make more money and your company will be more successful. And so Tom is jumping out to take this on with his new company called Holistic. It's holisticindex.com if you want to learn more. They just announced, just went live, I should say, like a week ago. So to have Tom in this soon, it's pretty cool. I think if you listen to the interview, you're gonna learn a lot more about what are the metrics you should be paying attention to when it comes to running your business. You know, managing employees, managing people. Like it's kind of similar to the conversation we just had on the sales side with Byron Matthew. Like you got to pay attention to the math, people. Like for those of you, and I was one of them who skipped math classes because I thought I don't need this. Turns out I do need this, and now I'm on Coursera reading about math that I didn't think I need. You need to pay attention to the stats, and Holistic is one of those things that makes it easier for you as a CEO to actually do that, to learn and quantify what your employees and your people and your customers and just everyone around your ecosystem or your environment, what they think of you and what they think of themselves and the whole nine yards. So this is my, you know, conversation with Tom Alexander about what he thinks we need to do to do a better job with inclusivity and diversity. You've had a prolific career already, but the 1871 part gives you a very, very inside perspective on varying sizes and growth paces of companies. And so you know, cueing off of the conversation that we just kind of had about how just the culture of like us sitting here.
Sure.
And again, for people who are listeners of the show, you have watched the videos, you've seen kind of the pictures and streams, and usually we're at like our normal setup of like a radio, which we do on Saturdays on the live show. I just wanted to change it up. I felt like we would get people like you on who I have a rapport with, and it's easy to talk, and we could be, you know, sitting here. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But for the average person that comes in, it's hard to grow a rapport, and it's hard to feel open and like get the best out of them when the room is like a little box.
Right.
And so much comes into the culture and sort of the experience that you create for people. You learned a lot about this at 1871, obviously, and obviously I'm sure before that as well. But what about your experience at 1871 led you to the new thing that you're into, which we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about? But like, what was that like? I don't want to say the aha moment, but like the aha, I think there's going to be an aha moment.
Yeah, so 1871 was amazing. I mean, I was there for just over 4 years. It's a window to the world. It's a window to the tech community. Everybody comes through there. We built it so that it would be a place of, by, and for the community. And I hope it always will be. And so it was just a great way to keep your fingers on the pulse of exactly what was going on. And you'd meet with large corporations. You'd meet with solo founders. You'd meet with people who were students, people who were dying to get into the tech community, people who'd been a part of the tech community or the business community for generations. And so getting to interact with all of them and to see kind of the exciting things that happen when you throw them all into the same place was really rewarding and really exciting. I'd been thinking about diversity and inclusion forever, you know, from the time I was in the mayor's office, even before that.
Yeah.
And when I came to 1871, part of the deal was that I was going to really work on kind of making that place a testament to the importance and the value of diversity and inclusion and welcomingness and advancement and fairness and all these things that are associated with it. And I think we were really successful in doing that. I mean, I think our team at 1871 embraced it, and we did some amazing things there. And as time went on, I was like, you know, this is what I want to work on all the time. And so that was kind of my big impetus for leaving, was to go and try and find an environment where I could just focus on that purely.
Well, I have to say, I mean this in the most respectful way possible. You said you worked there for 4 years, and I swear to God, it feels like you were there for 20.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you feel like it was like 20.
It feels like 20 years, but it also felt like I was there for like 3 months.
Yeah. No, I could, but that's the startup.
I was just kind of getting my bearings. And I felt the same way when I left the mayor's office. I was like, couldn't actually remember anything before that.
Yeah.
But also just felt like I just kind of started to figure it out. And for me, honestly, that's like how I want to feel whenever I leave every job, is like you got a lot more ideas and you have a lot more energy and you have a lot more enthusiasm for what you're doing, but you also feel like you've made a huge contribution.
I totally agree. And with technology, I feel there's got to be similarity there. I feel like there's a, And I also think that there's only certain people that this is good for. And we'll get into this in particular with Holistic,
sure,
because I think that the culture that you build has to fit the mission. You can't put a culture in that doesn't go alongside with 100%. The mission. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, for me at Technori, there's a certain amount of chaos. When I lose the chaos, I was just on my honeymoon in Amalfi, and someone
the pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was hating you silently for 2 weeks.
But like, here's the thing. I was loving it, and Jen and I had an awesome time, but I will say the chaos was removed from me.
Yeah.
And I was like getting a little twitchy.
Yeah, you lose your mojo a little bit.
Yeah, and so I wonder if for you, like you're at the mayor's office, it's chaotic, it's crazy, things are moving like super fast, and you've got these moments that like, a year went by and it feels like it was a month. And then at the same exact time, you're also working on really heady stuff and very impactful things. And it's very detail oriented and you've got to be on your shit. Like there's no room for air.
Right.
And that sort of is like the quiet aging, right? Like behind the scenes you start. So there's this kind of happy medium. And, you know, in 1871, you had to deal with, as you mentioned, you got the luxury of dealing with the startups and the different types of people. And in our city in particular, I think is different from others. And you guys at 1871 were a huge part of this, was building an inclusive and diverse, not just company, but community.
Yeah, environment.
And so having to understand the needs of female founders versus minority founders versus rich white suburban kid founders versus whatever, it's like it's stressful at times, but it's also incredibly rewarding because you get to see and be a really big part of melding everything.
Totally.
Which is interesting.
Particularly when it was as successful as the things that we were doing at 1871. I mean, I was telling somebody yesterday.
At least on a global scale. That's the thing that I think people maybe don't get.
We were named the number one incubator in the world, and I was fortunate to get to go up there with Howard and Lakshmi and a couple of Colleen from our team.
Who's now killing it in Tampa, Lakshmi. Right. I mean, it's a cool place.
Yeah, very, very exciting opportunity for her down there. Anyway, we were up there, and I was talking with folks about our focus on diversity and inclusion at 1871, which was like a hot-button issue because everybody's talking about it. And somebody was like, yeah, I mean, you're really lucky. You're so successful at 1871. You get to focus on this stuff. And I was like, fuck that. The reason that we're successful at 1871 is because we're
you're so lucky.
People actually think that it's an outcome, but it's not. It's an input. And so it's that sort of sentiment and it's that sort of vibe that, you know, I'm really kind of focused on proliferating and getting that mentality out there, that this is not something that you do at the end of the process. This is something that you do at the beginning of the process.
Well, and I have to jump into this for a second before we head into holistic. The other part of the coin here is you get to deal with startups and things, but then the other part is bringing partnerships together. And for us, Salesforce is our main sponsor.
Sure.
And I use Salesforce, and I don't know if you guys use Salesforce, but we're obviously gigantic fans. We've got Dreamforce coming up in September. 1871 is one of those places that has every single major brand around it.
Right.
And so you got to learn a lot and work with those people. You like how I got that live read just built right into our show?
Yeah, I didn't notice at all. I was like,
I was so quiet, right? I snuck it right in there in front of me. But no, that's the other part of this is the business. And
dude, I used to go into the new member orientation and say that corporations were as successful or as essential to the success of 1871 as startups. And I really mean that.
Yeah.
I mean, 1871 is a community. And it's a community for everybody. And what that means is that everybody is welcome. And so one of the really exciting things that I don't think I expected this walking in the door, I don't think a lot of the people on our team expected, was how critical the role of corporations was going to be in what we were doing. They need innovation. They need new ideas. They want to work with the startup community. The startups want to have them as their clients.
Oh,
and so it's just a natural fit. 1871 was a great place to bring everybody together. And we found a really nice role for our team as the intermediary. And, you know, the work that some of the folks on our team in the business development department did, connecting corporations and individual startups on our events team, bringing the corporations there, having that room, that very important room, be like the meeting place for the Chicago tech community. I mean, that stuff was really important, and it's going to have positive impacts on the community for decades.
I think, honestly, like, to tell you the truth, when I played the role that you had to play where you walk in and you say this with a smile, at first I think it was a little bit of like a, I don't want to say I'm contrived, but I felt like it was a little forced. Like, I'm like, I mean, they're paying me, so, you know, I say what I say. Over time, I've come to realize that, and I know that you know this already, you just kind of hashed it. For Chicago to be successful, one of the biggest assets we have is the large businesses around us.
Totally.
And it was, you know, for a few years ago, it was like pulling teeth to get them involved on the innovation side. It was like, yeah, we'll give you your sponsor bucks for advertising.
Sure.
But to actually open our VC pockets and invest in the companies that are building B2B solutions, which is what Chicago really does well.
Totally.
I think it's super important. So obviously, this is like a double back on the read. Like, we really do appreciate what Salesforce does for these companies because, like, yeah, they offer CRMs for people who come to Technorian, like all the companies that pitch get it. But really, they take a look at the startups and send it to their venture team. And that's where the money's at.
Totally.
But anyway, so moving on from that, Holistic starts coming around as you've noticed that there's a serious, I guess you'll say it better than I will, but the problem that I saw when we had our first conversation about you starting this was that companies want something, but they don't know how to get there, and they really don't know how to quantify not only what they want, but they don't know how to quantify what they do have and what they don't have. And the whole thing is just really not systematic, and which means it's not scalable.
Yeah.
And you're bringing an element that now makes that possible. HolisticIndex.com.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Yeah. HolisticIndex.com. Talent is everything. You can't walk up to anybody in the business community who doesn't realize the importance of talent right now. We basically have no unemployment in this country. Employees have more options than ever. Technology has made it very easy to switch jobs. Culture has changed. It's not even really an event if you change positions. And so, and yet, you know, everybody is in the business of human capital. And there's more information than you've ever dealt with before. I mean, if we stopped collecting data forever right now, there's still more than we could ever hope to process already. And we're not stopping. We're just collecting more and more every second. And so our central premise and the question that we're asking with Holistic is, can you take all this data and can you work with companies to really understand what's going on? Because if somebody feels like they're underpaid, but they're paid appropriately, it's a different problem than if they're actually underpaid. And they have different solutions and different options. And so that's just one of many, many different things that we look at. But
how do you find that out, though? Like, so how do you, so other than me just bitching when I'm at the office, like how do you know? Is it surveys? Like how?
Yeah, so it's we collect a large amount of data up front. So we collect performance data, payroll data, demographic data from the companies. We do an intense company DNA survey down to like, you know, how many months do you have to wait before you can get into the 401k? Because we want to be able to compare that with competitors and to really get an understanding of the landscape. We take all those sources of, and those are hard data. I mean, those are facts. And we mix that with an extensive surveying process, which encompasses not just the employees, but the alumni of your company. It's like asking your ex-girlfriend or boyfriend
give me
what
a quick
kind of person you are,
that.
Right? And the leadership of the company, because people don't, you know, it's amazing, but the leaders don't often get what you want. Earlier on, you mentioned building customized solutions. One of the things that's important to us is that we're delivering solutions that companies are actually interested in deploying. And so we take all this data and we mix it together and we start to just run experiments. And we're asking the data a lot of different questions about different things that are happening in the employee experience. And because we have so many different angles at it, what we're able to do is to pretty quickly understand things that are going really well in a company and, more importantly, areas for potential improvement. And that's where we focus our effort, is how are we going to solve that? How are we going to work together with the companies to solve those problems, those challenges, and those opportunities that are arising through the analysis of the data.
So at what point, I feel like this is, you'd mentioned before, like in the mayor's office, you were thinking about these kind of problems to solve. At what point are you at, I'm assuming you're at 1871 when this happens, but like at what point do you realize I can solve this problem?
Well, I mean, I haven't solved it yet, and I don't think that any one individual anywhere is.
Well, I should say I can attack it. Like I can be the one to try to attack this problem.
So I it's less about a sort of like one aha moment and more about my growing belief that diversity and inclusion and welcomingness and fairness and equity are fundamental to success in work and in society. And when I, you know, that's been sort of an undercurrent of my career, but as time has gone on, I've just become so convinced that that is the case.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of opportunity to work in that space. And for me, any question about an employee engagement at all is really a question about inclusion, right? And so these things go very much hand in hand. And what we have really found over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years is that it's actually more important than anybody realized, number one. And number two, the world is kind of catching up. And so, you know, the last year and a half have been fairly tumultuous in the business community. All of the Me Too, you know, news.
It's a come to Jesus moment for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think one of the, I don't want to say it's a positive outcome, but one of the outcomes of that is that the vast majority of companies are finally starting to realize just how critical this type of stuff is. And so you mix that with the stuff that I was saying earlier about the rise of the importance of the individual employee. So you got more data than you ever have before. Human capital and employees are more important than they've ever been before. And the focus of the broader business community on diversity and inclusion and fairness is also at the highest level it's ever been. And all three of those things are just going to get bigger. It's a very exciting time. And so that's why I wanted to dive into it. And, you know, the problem that I am trying to solve basically is that I don't think folks are looking at enough data.
Yeah.
The data is there. It's just not being employed.
I think they don't look at, like, again, you obviously know this better than me, but I think that there's like the same lazy man approach to data that we've always kind of had, which is I don't look at the data that is really complex and actually very telling. I look at the simple, most obvious things and go, well, it's working, or well, it's not. And it's, you're looking at,
yeah, there's a little bit
symptoms
of that. I mean, for me, it's actually more that it's just not really accessible. So like your company knows to the cent how much money they've paid you.
Yeah.
Okay. What do they do with that? well, maybe if you come in and you're bitching about how you want to make some more money, they might look at that and think about, you know, if they're going to give you a raise. But they're probably not comparing it to other sources of data that they have, because it's just not easy to do.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not, you know, in many cases comparing it to like your peers or your peers in the industry, not necessarily your peers at the company. And these are critical questions. You know, how much money you make, what your benefits look like, what your work-life balance is at your company, how happy and productive your employees are. These are things that the companies are really interested in. And they have the sort of the raw material that they need, but there needs to be some engines so that it's more accessible for them to attack it, first of all. And then second, you got to do something on the other end. Here's something really interesting. We do these employee surveys, and we ask basically a net promoter question at the beginning, at the end, and at the end. The same question.
Oh, yeah.
So they take, I think I told you this.
Yeah, you told me
that. The other day. You take the survey for 20 minutes and you're asked the same question at the front and the end, and your answer changes pretty dramatically during the course of the situation, but it doesn't always go the same direction. Companies that are doing well, their net promoter goes up pretty significantly, and companies that are doing poorly, their net promoter goes down. And so that tells you two really interesting things. One is the modern employee is dealing with so much, and it's such a crazy world out there that if you can't rely on them to consistently answer how they're feeling about the company over the course of a 20-minute survey, it's going to be very difficult for you to rely on them to make the right decision 3.5 years from now on a weekend when you're not around, when you're dealing with a problem that you've never faced before. Yep. That's a huge challenge that nobody has the answer to yet, but that's a big part of what we're dealing with in business. So that's issue number one. But issue number two is that they just fucking want to be asked how they feel.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why the companies that are doing well get better is because you give the person a chance to reflect on just how good they have it, and they have a really pretty good sense that the types of things that they're saying are going to be reacted to by their company, they feel better by the end of it. And if in a bad company where they have a lot of experience of them not listening and them not paying attention and them not caring about it, they feel worse because they don't think that anything's going to happen. And so that's the second part of it, is that once you identify the problems, you absolutely have to do something about it.
See, and that's so, the part, though, that, like, and I laud you for what you're doing with this, and I think it has massive potential. The part that I think is the, I don't know what the right word is here, but it's like the piece that companies have tried to avoid is that they know that if I ask this question, if I take the Band-Aid off, I have to fix this now. Like, it's open. The wound is open. And I wonder if that, like, if the reason that no one has addressed this well or properly from an internal standpoint, not from a company like Holistic, but just internally speaking, is that this idea of, like, I know there's a problem. I mean, I know it.
See, people say that to me sometimes. I just don't think it's that, like, calculated or insidious or even all that organized.
I don't think it is. I think, like, it might be in the beginning. I think a person, like, for me personally, I'll just tell you the truth, like, with my guys, like, we have stuff coming up. We're in the middle of, you know, we're going to be announcing this big raise and, like, all this stuff that we did. Things changed. And something like, do I want to deal with this? Do I want to, like, tell everyone, like, listen, things are different, or do I just, like, let it fester and then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's tough. And you look, there's no
self-fulfilling.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, there's no right answer. Like, you're there's not one way of doing it.
I think that you're building the answer, because I feel like
what we're trying to do is not so much to build the answer, but to give folks the mechanism to try and make the best possible decisions that they can make in the moment. Okay.
And
you already know that you're employed. Yeah, sure.
Like, you're giving people the ability to actually come back and be like, so if I rip the Band-Aid off, I don't know what to do to put it back on. I can't. It's over. But if I'm working with you and it tells me, here's how to know whether or not you're probably instinctively correct when you pull the Band-Aid off. What you expect to happen is probably going to happen. And here are some steps that you can take to change it or to do better or improve. It doesn't fix it overnight, but some ways to make this more.
And look, my dream is that these problems don't become a problem in the first place. So
you
think about the concept of being woke, which everybody is talking about these days. I think about being woke in terms of, like, three buckets, right? And so bucket A is, like, just being aware that there's a problem. So that's, like, the Me Too movement is a really good example of that. Like, hey, people, wake up, pay attention to what's happening out there. Okay, bucket B is you're aware that there's a problem and you're taking some steps to fix it. You're removing bad actors, you're making policy changes, you're remunerating people who were underpaid. So, like, Time's Up is a great example of that. Salesforce going through and kind of equalizing the pay for a lot of employees.
Yep.
It's like that.
Thank you for the plug, by the way.
After, like, 150 years... finally, most of the business community is in bucket A.
Yep.
A few folks are starting to get into bucket B, but there's a whole other bucket, which is everything I just said, plus in the moment, I'm going to arm you with tools, resources, and technology so that you can prevent these things from becoming a problem in the first place. And that's where our efforts are focused, is we want to get in there and we want to build the infrastructure so that the moment that these biases are being introduced, the moment that these problems start to arise, the moment that you start to see a decline in an employee's enthusiasm or their productivity or their interest in what they're doing, that you can intervene and fix those problems before they actually become a problem in the first place. And that you have all the tools and all the resources and all the best practices and all the technology products and all the software solutions available to do it. And so we have this holistic index score, which is basically like a credit score for your employee engagement, which is a really good way of keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on. If your personal credit score drops 25 points, you're probably going to look and see what went wrong and what you can fix.
Not at this point, Tom.
Right.
At this point, the 25 points is really just bullshit. Right. Like, whatever.
Everybody else, though.
If you're not in this industry.
Someday you'll be able to buy that Mazda 3 that you have
in cash.
And it's the same thing with your business. The moment that things start to go sideways with an individual employee, with a division, or with your whole company, you want to be there.
Yeah.
And you want to know what are the best possible tools that are available out there to fix it. If it gets to the moment of a crisis and you realize that you have a crisis and you're trying to figure out what you do about it, it's already too late.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have to do this stuff in advance. You have to be prepared for all these different types of situations. And so part of what we're doing is we're building a whole network of solutions that can be deployed into these companies. Some of them are technologies that we're building. Some of them are best practices. Some of them are policies. Some of them are existing companies. You know, we're working with other companies here in town and other companies that provide trainings or employee benefits or things like that. So we have all this stuff ready to deploy into companies so that once we understand their problems, we can say, look, here's the situation and here are the solutions to fix it. And then at the same time, we're going to keep an eye on what's going on so that as these things start to come up, we can nip them in the bud.
So I want to flip the script on you a little bit here, because now you're in the position of being a founder, mm-hmm. of a founder of a company that does have a very heavy technical play.
Sure.
I'm going to assume here you're a non-technical CEO.
Yeah.
Okay. Say likewise. I can turn a light switch on.
I'm like pretty good with Excel, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I can HTML like a bit. Like, right, I can make a basic website, but nothing actually works.
Yeah.
What is it like now? You know, you sat in an office overlooking hundreds of individuals who were doing exactly what you're doing right now. What is it like to flip and be like in charge of building a technology piece that, you know, honestly, you can't control? Like, you personally don't have the control for that.
So first of all, the cave that we sat in at 1871, because Howard took a family eats last approach, which is the right approach to take. My only view was overlooking Laura Clark.
I was going to say, you didn't sit on top of the mountain.
I didn't exactly see the action. The amazing thing about seeing 1871 up close, and 1871 is truly a remarkable place, but the amazing thing about it was to watch hundreds of people go through and be faced with the same kinds of decisions and make the same mistakes or make the same right decisions or whatever. And, you know, we learned a lot about what works and what doesn't work. And so as I'm venturing off into this, what I'm trying to be really cognizant of is, hey, you were paying attention for those last 4 years. Don't make mistakes that you were criticizing other people for making, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Don't make mistakes that you are trying to steer other founders away from. So that's kind of the
it's got to be hard, though, to be like, you know, in your own self. Like, to judge oneself is not the simplest.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is doing that in business and life, honestly.
Like, well, yeah, I guess
I
judge the hell out of
anybody who's not walking around all day long fighting their own demons?
Well, yeah. Well,
I'd like to meet that person.
Well, yes, certainly that. But I mean, like, to be able to actually keep myself to the letter that I try to keep others to.
Sure. When I
cheat
was in
a lot,
the mayor's
Tom.
Office, by the time I left the mayor's office, I was really feeling like I was kind of going crazy, because I felt like a scientist who was living in the petri dish where he was working.
Yeah.
Like, every corner of the city, I knew something about it. I knew the person that you'd maybe want to call about it, or, you know, I knew that something was going to change or wasn't going to change or whatever. Like, and that was really exciting. I mean, it was so fun and fascinating to see the city from that lens, but it also makes you a little bit crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because you're just like constantly thinking about, oh, I wonder why this is happening. I wonder if this could be different.
Because you have inside knowledge.
And,
you know,
and like, it wasn't just me. It was like every one of the 80 dynamic, remarkable people that were working there were having that same sort of process. It's exhausting. And it was the same with 1871. You know, we always used to say that it's hard not to fall in love there. Because like every corner that you walk around, you find somebody who put their entire life on the line for their idea. And they're working day and night, 24/7 to try and make it a reality. And they're making mistakes and they're having successes and the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. And sometimes you have all that stuff happen before lunch.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really fun to watch entrepreneurship in action. And it's hard to not kind of be intrigued by that when you're there. And so for sure, I think a big part of my impetus for doing this was to watch how exciting it was there and how passionate all these entrepreneurs were about their ideas and what a thrill it was for them to try and turn something into reality and to try it myself. And, you know, I sat next to Howard for 4 years and listened to him talk about entrepreneurship and the importance of the work that he's done during the, you know, 50 years that he's been doing this stuff here in Chicago. And there's nobody out there who encapsulates the value and the spirit and the power of entrepreneurship better than that man. And so that was also really, really interesting and exciting for me. And that really kind of enlivened me to, you know, want to take a shot at doing this. And so it's been really fun and it's really exciting to go at it and to kind of look around and be like, okay, I don't know what the next step is. I'm going to try and figure it out.
So the cat's out of the bag, obviously, that Holistic is up and live and running and it's out. What are the like one or two things that you want to make sure every person who got that press release or sees you out there, what you can do for them?
Yeah. So one is you have more control than you think you do over the ways that your employees are going to experience work. And it's really important that you lean into that. Employees are everything. You already know that. You already have all this information. We can help work with you to make sure that people have the best possible experience. And that's going to lead directly to success of your business. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that healthy, happy, productive employees are going to be successful employees. And we're interested in working with all kinds of companies. So we're literally open for business, and I would love to hear from anybody about that. And the second part of it is that work should be fun.
Yeah.
And not just work, but like life should be fun. And for me, fun means inclusive and fair and equitable, and that you walk down the street and everybody has opportunity, that you go to work and you look around and you feel like everybody sees a path forward for themselves, sees a bright future, is excited about being there, is excited about what you're doing at work and in life. I mean, that is fundamental to me. And, you know, unfortunately, in many parts of the world right now, it's just not the case.
Yep.
And that needs to be fixed. And we have all the information out there and we have the will, finally. And so what we're really working on at Holistic and what, you know, honestly, I think everybody should be working on is how do you kind of put all that stuff together to give people a better experience?
I completely agree. I hope that this was fun, was part of the journey for you. I'm sure we'll have you come back here again, obviously, and keep us up to date. And where do people go to learn more and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, like holisticindex.com is the website, or you can just hit me up at tom@holisticindex.com. And we're up and running. We're working with some initial clients right now. We're obviously looking for more clients. The ideal size of a company is like 25 to 300 or 400 people, but we'll work with all shapes and sizes, and we're just really enthusiastic about what we're doing. And we're always looking for partners. We're always looking for new ideas. We're just really want to kind of be a part of the game.
Awesome. Tom, thank you so much for coming in.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Of course. So you can catch this episode and more at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or you can follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.